Hell yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
And today we are going to talk about... Shit, I forgot already. What are we talking about, Michael?
We're going to talk about preventative and yes. reactive grievances.
That is correct. Yeah. So there are there is a school of thought within the union where we really only file grievances in response to management, like management issuing discipline.
That would be reactive.
That would be reactive grievances, where we react to some nonsense that management is doing. Once they cross a line, now we have to react and try to like claw that back.
So the preventative is something that we are lacking a lot of.
Okay? Yes.
And that is what the biggest problem that's going on in nationwide is the preventative. Because as a union, you know, we're supposed to work on what? The pay, right?
Yep.
And safety of all carriers. So if we're going to work on safety.
Working conditions. Working conditions.
So preventative, right? that's something that's very important, as reactive is important.
Right, right. Exactly. So the reactive stuff has to be done. You know, when management issues discipline, yes, we have to file that grievance. Or when they're breaking the rules, we have to file that grievance. Mm-hmm. But there are situations where we know like management is doing something that's inappropriate. And if we can nip it in the bud, if we can stop management in their tracks, that's going to be a lot more effective at it, because the problem with reactive grievances is the carrier has to be harmed.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want our carriers to be harmed.
Right.
And so in many cases, we can stop this with preventive grievances. And that's what Michael is here to talk about today.
Yeah. So preventative.
Yep.
Okay. So let's say this is something we talked about in that Zoom meeting that we had.
Right. With the next generation carriers. Yeah. Yep.
When a management goes around and tells all the carriers, hey, your office time is 30 minutes. Your office time is 45
minutes. Right. They tell you your leave time. Right. You have to be out of here by 8:42.
They're telling you the times. Okay. Right. Now, here's the thing. My branch says that's not a grievance. And right. I say, oh, yes, that is it's a good grievance. Right. Why is that a good grievance, you think, Alan?
Because management is telling you things that are inappropriate. Management's creating a hostile work environment.
Yes. So because let's say I was a manager and I go up to Alan and say, hey, right. Alan, your office time today is 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay. How are you going to feel at that response on that?
I'm going to feel like I'm being done dirty. You know, that management is giving me this unrealistic expectation that I'm not going to be able to meet it. It's going to cause a bunch of stress.
And because you don't know if you're going to get disciplined or not. You just don't know, right?
Yep.
And so because you don't know what's going to happen, it's causing a feeling like being hostile from management, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It causes anxiety.
And this is the bullying behavior by management.
Right.
I'm sorry, but all the stuff that we just talked about seems like it's all on joint statement of violence and behavior.
It does. In fact, it specifically says in there, making the numbers is not an excuse for the abuse of anyone.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that sounds like that is a grievance on joint statement of violence and behavior and mutual respect, which is on M39 section 115.4.
Right.
Okay. That the reason that you have to file it when management is going around and saying that is you got to do it immediately and to stop them from saying, oh, but they haven't issued discipline yet. This is what I'm getting from my branch.
Yeah, that's the problem. Okay? Right. Why wait? Because you give management a pass to do whatever nonsense they want. You know, it's like management says, hey, if you come back, if you bring that truck back and it has less than half a tank of gas in it, I'm going to light it on fire with you in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we wait for management to actually light the truck on fire before we do anything about it?
Yeah.
No. We nip that shit in the butt.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
And the reason you got to file the grievance immediately as a steward, and you have to write statements for your steward also, is to stop this from happening. Okay.
Right. Management are using this as a tool to bludgeon carriers.
Yeah. And the other things that they're doing is they're writing times on a whiteboard. They can't do that either. Okay, that's creating a hostile work environment. But here's what's the biggest good thing about that whiteboard?
Yeah,
is it's proof.
Yeah, they're right. They can't deny that it was up there.
Yeah, that is proof that they are doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that is for sure that you can use that against management on that, because that is definite proof that they are telling carriers the times in the office.
Yeah.
Now, if they go around and just write down what your DPS count is, who cares about that?
Right.
But when they're actually putting the times in there, then that's a problem. So then you do file a grievance immediately on that.
I have pushed back on this at my station. I've managed to do a lot of that without filing a grievance. You know, just talking to the supervisor and be like, dude, this is going to be an issue. You know, you can't tell us exactly what time it is because you don't know all the conditions. And he says, well, can I say that, like, we have a goal? You know, we want to get everybody out of here, but don't single people out. I said, yeah, they, you know, that's fine. It's okay to have goals, but it's not okay to say, like, you need to leave by 8:43.
Now, the memorandum 1664 and 1769 that I talked about before.
Okay.
Tells about they cannot use those times to issue discipline. Okay. And so, like, my branch
right, like
says,
Pat.
Yeah,
right.
My branch says, well, since they're not issuing discipline, that's not a grievance. Well, you know what? You're not filing a grievance saying because of that not issuing discipline.
Right. If we're not filing a grievance
about
the discipline.
You're filing grievance because they're being hostile and being bullying behavior
right.
and causing a hostile work environment.
That's exactly
and no mutual respect atmosphere.
That's exactly
you're supposed
right.
to respect. But when you're putting them times on there that's ridiculous, you're not creating that mutual respect.
Right, because they're not respecting our own ability to manage our
because
time.
Because in reality, who knows how long it's going to take in the office time.
That's exactly right. Okay?
What if you didn't get all your mail yet? What if the express mail's not here yet?
Exactly.
What if they found more mail somewhere else.
Often not ready.
Okay. What if you find a second hamper?
Right.
Okay? What if that happens a lot at my station.
Exactly.
Okay.
What if I had a breakfast burrito and I spend 10 minutes in the bathroom in the morning?
Right.
You know, it happens.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah. Okay?
And so that is the reason why that this is a preventative grievance to prevent that from going any worse than necessary. Okay?
Right.
Because you don't want to file it when everybody's starting to finally get disciplined. You
right.
don't want to file grievance.
So talk a little bit about how you would go about building your case for grievance.
First of all, you want to interview all the carriers.
Right.
So you take, you know, time and say, hey, I need to interview all the carriers. Management said, why? I said, well, you know, you're requesting you're telling carriers office times and that's causing a hostile work environment. So I need to go and talk to each carrier and see how they feel.
Right.
Because the whole thing is,
this is
being
hostile
about
how you feel.
We've got to figure out how it's making other carriers feel.
Right.
Okay.
And so you got to get into that with the carriers.
You
got to
get that. Now, some carriers don't want to give you a statement. So this is the reason why you got to go interview them.
Right.
To get that information from them.
Right.
Because some carriers are scared of management, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you do not, sometimes they're not going to fill out a statement. So what you got to do is you got to interview them and write down the time when you interviewed them, the date and so forth.
Right.
And put that as your statement saying that you interviewed the carriers.
Right. Exactly.
And after you interview 12, 15 carriers, you got probably enough that you can file that grievance.
Right.
Okay.
And then your citations are going to be the Joint Statement on Violence.
Right.
And the
M39. Well, handbook, you know, Article 19 for handbooks and
manuals. Oh, right.
Okay.
Yep.
And you got
the
M39, Section 115.4.
Right.
Memorandum.
Right. There's memos about like 1664.
I don't remember the Joint Statement on Violence. It's like 14, 15? I remember the number, but it's the JSOB.
Either way, right. And then the one about like you can't use the DOAS as the determinant for, you know,
so
for the times.
The 1664 will say you cannot use DOAS. 1769 says any.
There you go.
Any similar thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's what the 1769 is for.
So we know that this podcast is mainly aimed at carriers rather than stewards. All the other podcasts are for stewards. This is for carriers. So what's your advice to a carrier? Like, what does a carrier do when management comes up and says, I expect you to be clocked to the street by 8:42?
Well, you still do whatever you got to do.
That's right.
And you do what office, how long it takes for the office.
That's exactly right.
Management cannot issue discipline for standards. Okay, in the office or on the street.
Right. It says in the M39 that it has to be demonstrated like that you're doing things wrong. Mm-hmm. Like even if you're not meeting the 18 and 8 standard, there's still additional criteria.
Again, 18 and 8 is, even though they say it's a standard, it's only a guide. Okay? Because again, you cannot be disciplined for not making 18 and 8.
Unless you're also like intentionally wasting time or I forget exactly what the language is.
Again, they have to prove that.
Yeah, and they have to show that. Yeah. Right. It's almost impossible to discipline for that. It's not impossible, but it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So as a carrier, that stuff can go in one ear and out the other. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ignore that stuff. Who cares? They can tell you, oh, we want you back by this time. You can want me back all you want. It's still going to take me however long it takes me.
But the thing is, you need to report that to your steward.
Exactly.
This is what's happening.
Right.
Otherwise, it will never change.
Right. Yeah.
Because next thing you know, you don't make it. You might get a discipline for
it. Right. And if they're saying that stuff to you, they're saying it to other people as well. You know, it's not unusual for carriers to feel like they're being singled out by management. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you don't see what they're saying to other carriers. They could be saying even worse nonsense to other carriers. You don't know. And this is also why it's important to bring that to your steward. Mm-hmm. Because if everybody's bringing it to their steward, now the steward has a case, you know, way stronger than just your case, that this is a systemic problem. Mm-hmm. And now we can even start talking about maybe getting that supervisor removed from supervising carriers.
Yeah, and yeah, unfortunately, that's almost impossible to do.
Yeah, I know. In the post office. But you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And having multiple statements from multiple carriers is a lot stronger.
But as you keep filing these grievances for hostile working environment, and it comes from multiple of them come to one supervisor.
Right.
Trust me, they'll get yelled at. Get yelled at by somebody higher above as time goes on.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. And even if you can't get
them. They might even yell at them. They might say, hey, man, you're causing so much problem that I got to do something. So I'm going to have to send you to another station.
Right. Yeah, which is fine. You know, that, and it all adds up. Mm-hmm. And you can also have as part of a grievance settlement that like this supervisor needs to go for retraining, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. Something that's a little less severe that management might mm-hmm. agree to. And yeah, dude, again, the important thing what we're trying to do here is to get the behavior to stop.
Yep.
And if you wait until it escalates to a level where now the grievance is reactionary, to me and to Michael, you've waited too long. It shouldn't have got to that point.
So another preventative that we're talking about is safety.
Okay.
Okay. If you see something going on where management is violating safety or something else that the management doesn't realize there's a safety violation, mm-hmm. and then you see that, you need to file a grievance so that you can prevent
something. Well, your first thing should probably be
to notify management.
Yeah, talk to management, see if you can get it resolved. Exactly. If that doesn't work, 1767, the notification of hazard or unsafe condition or something. Yep. And then if that still doesn't work.
Now, if anybody wonders what a 1767 is, it is a safety form requesting management how they're going to fix the safety problem.
Right.
That we're saying there is a problem. Mm. Okay. And so management is supposed to give you a report on how they're going to fix that problem.
Right. It's actually part of the form where they say what they're going to do to abate the problem. So go ahead. Talk about this form.
So on the form, it's called a report of hazard, unsafe condition, or practice.
Oh, yeah. Okay? The practice. I always forget about that part. Yeah. Because you can have unsafe practices for sure.
So, you know, when you see something that's going wrong, you know, you want to report it. Okay.
Right.
And so you put the employees, you report like where the problem is and so forth. So you
Michael, let me interrupt for a sec. Does this form have to be filled out by a steward?
No, it can be filled out by anyone.
Damn right.
Yeah. Anyone.
Yep.
Okay. And then once it gets there, there's four copies. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now here's my recommendation, because your copies on the third or fourth page, mm-hmm. you can never see what you wrote on.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you write.
So make sure you press real hard and make a copy of the front page.
I bet you there's a big chunk of our audience that has never used like carbon paper.
Yeah. But either way, make a copy of the first page.
Yeah, right. You can always just make a copy of it. Right. That's a good idea. Or take a picture on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second part is the supervisor's action, what they're going to do to fix that problem.
Yes, that's the important part. Yeah. Because they don't want to put on there that they're just ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then the approving official has to also say, hey, you know, what they're going to do also.
Right.
Okay? And then there's a maintenance action also. Okay. But the important part is the instructions. Okay?
Right. And these are on the back of the form. You can go see the instructions.
Back of the form, what the employee is supposed to do, what a supervisor is supposed to do. So I like to read that part.
Okay? Dude, please. I don't think I've ever read this before.
It says they need to, A, investigate the alleged hazard during the same tour of duty in which the report was received.
Okay. That's good. So you give it to them in the morning. Right. They've got to get on top of it that day.
B, abate the hazard if it is within the scope of your authority to do so.
Okay, cool. And so if it's something straightforward, they need to address it. Okay.
C, record the action taken to eliminate the hazard or record recommendation for corrective action in section 2 and sign your name.
Nice. Okay. So this puts management on the hook.
Yes.
Nice. And then D, I love it.
Forward the original yellow copy to your immediate supervisor or approving official and send the pink copy to the safety office. Then when they said, this is to telling the supervisor, who's the immediate supervisor for a supervisor?
The station manager or the postmaster.
Or the postmaster, right? Okay. And the approving of, and the pink copy to the safety office. So
there you go.
Another copy goes to the safety office.
Right.
And give the employee the remaining blue copy as a receipt, which is the last copy.
Right.
That's the reason why I said you need to make a copy.
Okay? Yeah.
It is your responsibility to monitor the status of the report at all times until hazard is abated.
Dude.
This is the supervisor's instruction how to do this form, okay? Now there's another part.
Wait, it's the supervisor's responsibility to monitor this until it's abated. Yeah. Oh, that's killer. Okay. I love it.
Number three, that where it says approving official. Now this is approving officials above the supervisor.
Yeah. Either the postmaster or whoever.
Initiate action to eliminate or minimize the hazard. If this resulted in the submission of a work order, attach the original of this form and forward through channels to the manager, plant maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. B, if you determine that there is no reasonable grounds to believe a hazard exists, notify the employee within 15 calendar days. Safety personnel will assist you in this determination when requested.
Okay, so to get back to like the proactive grievances, mm-hmm. this is equivalent, you know, that a rank and file carrier can do that's kind of equivalent to a proactive grievance. You know, you take, for example, the cleanliness of your truck. We are not custodians.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily get time to clean our trucks. There may be something in your local about it. I've put in $39.96 to clean the inside of my truck.
Mm-hmm.
But a filthy truck, that's a health and safety issue. And so you can take a 1767, write it up, and give it to management that the inside of your truck needs to be cleaned.
Yeah.
And then they have to address it. They have it within their power to get the trucks cleaned. Or they have to do something, you know, mm-hmm. and this is a beautiful thing. And this is mm-hmm. something that carriers can use to improve their quality of life as a carrier.
Right. Yeah. Safety. It's for your
safety. It's a health and safety issue. Absolutely.
Okay. And then C, if the hazard was abated by the first line supervisor or when it has been abated through your actions, notify the employee in writing and send the original of this form to the safety office.
Nice.
You have to inform the carrier.
Dude, the employee in writing, huh? I love that part.
This is the approving official has to notify the employee in writing.
That's great. I love that part.
Okay. So what's great about it is that if the management doesn't do this within 15 calendar days,
right,
notify your steward so that they can file a grievance that they're not following safety.
That's exactly right. And so like with cleaning your truck,
mm-hmm.
if management doesn't get your truck cleaned within mm-hmm. that 15 days and mm-hmm. they don't give you this written report, mm-hmm. that's when the grievance comes in.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
And you got to file that. You know why you got to file it?
Tell me.
Well, after 2, 3, 4 times you file the grievances, what can you do with that many grievances?
Start asking for remedies, like escalating remedies. No, tell me what?
Because management still hasn't done crap, right?
After 3 or 4 of them?
Are they still doing it?
Right.
Is that now you can file it to OSHA.
Oh, sure.
Because now you have proof that there's...
Right, that they're ignoring
the safety issue.
1767s carry weight with mm-hmm. OSHA. They want to know that the carriers are bringing this to management's attention mm-hmm. and management's ignoring it. That really does carry weight. You're absolutely right.
And there's one more part in here. It's called maintenance supervisor.
Right.
When the work order has been completed, signed, date, and returned the original of this form to the approving official who will then forward it to the safety office.
There you go.
So when the manager gets it from the supervisor, then they're going to do that. Okay. So anyway, there's one more thing that's on here that doesn't say that. There is actually like a 5-part instruction on how the forms are supposed to be taken care of. That's on mm-hmm. the back page. So you can make a copy of that too.
Okay. Oh, yes, to remind you.
To remind you of the days.
Right. I mean, there should be a stack of 1767s available at your station at all times.
And just make a copy of the front page and the back page. Okay? Because it tells you the instructions.
It's so beautiful.
Okay? Now, I have a story on the 1767.
Oh, go for it, dude.
It's very entertaining.
All right.
So back in the day with COVID, my station manager called in sick during COVID.
Okay.
And then she came back the next
day. Even though they don't have like normal internal systems, they're filled with like an inky black ichor, they could still get sick.
Okay. Doesn't matter. We just know that we were told that she was sick.
Okay.
And so my question was when she came back, hey, did you have flu-like symptoms? Well, I just had a couple sneezes here and there. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
So I filled out a 1767 saying she's hazardous to all of us because we don't know if she has COVID or not.
Okay. Dude, Michael, you're such a troublemaker.
Hey, but she had to go and make sure she get checked and she was negative, thankfully.
Okay.
You know, but again, you know, I do.
That reminds me,
I'm protecting all the carriers.
Of the carrier or the union president who there was a COVID outbreak. I think it was John Cruise in New York, mm-hmm. where there was a COVID outbreak at a station and the carriers wanted the station cleaned. And he had the carriers stay out until they could get that station cleaned. Mm-hmm. And carriers got like fired and, you know, for doing a work stoppage. And there was this big fight and they had to get all that stuff back. I'm pretty sure that was John Cruise. Are you familiar with that story? It doesn't matter. In any case, dude, again, there's the 1767 issues mm-hmm. where if you've got this safety issue, then, yeah, this empowers you as a carrier. And that's what this podcast is all about. Empowering you as a carrier. Take control of your career. Take control of your situations at work. And little things can be addressed and can make your quality of life better as a carrier.
Yeah, and again, preventative. You know, there's a lot of things that you'll see to prevent stuff.
You don't have to wait until it becomes untenable.
Right, and for stewards,
right.
If you see something that you can be preventable, file a grievance and see what happens. Who cares?
That's right.
File a grievance.
Yeah.
Okay? Again, the same thing happens. If nothing happens, you didn't lose anything.
Right.
But if it's something happens where they say, you know what, you're right. What management did was wrong. Now the quality of life for your carers improves because you were preventing it from going wrong.
There was an episode of Ada Arbitration, and I wish I could remember what the topic was of the issue, but where the supervisor's defense was, well, we're not going to issue, you know, we're saying this, but we're not actually going to issue discipline on it, and so it shouldn't be an issue. And that defense did not hold up.
Right.
Because this threat is something
we just talked about with the office time.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. The threat of discipline is still grievable.
But our branch is listening to that bullshit. Okay?
Dude.
So hopefully maybe somebody will listen to what I'm saying at my branch and fix this issue.
Get some new leadership in there.
Okay?
You're damn right.
Now, you know, we can go to...
Oh, you got another one?
No. From preventative to reactive, right?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Now, the reactive is, it's really simple. We don't have to go too long on this.
Right.
Reactive is when management issues discipline. That's reactive.
Right. We're going to react to that and file a grievance to try to get that overturned.
Reactive is also when you allow management to harass.
Right.
And then so things get worse and with the yelling and screaming and then things happen. Now that's reactive because you have to do something.
Right.
Okay. Whereas preventative, you didn't have to do that before the yelling happened.
Exactly. Reactive is when we try to unfuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so most of even our branch, multiple branches, mm-hmm. are reactive.
Right.
And
the problem with that is that in many cases, the carrier can never truly be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say a carrier, heaven forbid, gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually, 6 months later, the union gets their job back and they get 6 months of back pay. The carrier's still not really made whole because they had 6 months of struggle, of having to be on assistance, of trying to look for other jobs.
And you lose your credit because you weren't able to pay your bills.
Right, exactly. And you can't claw that back through the mm-hmm. grievance process. And that's why it's so important to stay ahead of these things
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to just react.
And here's the stupid part about the carriers being removed.
Right.
Is that we're supposed to put all the removed carriers in front of the line on all the grievances.
Yeah.
Okay. And it seems like it's not happening right now.
Well,
so I don't know what's going on in arbitration. I don't know because I'm not an arbitration advocate.
Right.
I'm not a business agent, so I don't know what's going on in those things. But I do know that if you take 6 months,
then
you are
wrong.
Hurting the carrier.
Oh, without question. And that's management wins during that entire 6 months.
Exactly.
This is something that David Noble is definitely right about, mm-hmm. that we need more arbitrators. We can't have this backlog. It is an absolute disservice to carriers.
And we need to get that resolved.
Yeah. Dude, I would love to hear Brian Renfro's response to that. You know, why does he think it's okay to have this kind of backlog? And, you know, it's madness.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is real, some of these things should be easily resolved.
Right.
And why is the arbitrator taking so long to resolve it?
It's not like our
arguments are different, especially in attendance.
Right. It's that the few that we have, their dockets are full, or mm-hmm. as I understand it.
Yeah. Well, again, if it's attendance, it's the same thing, same arguments.
Right. But, dude, you want to talk about preventive?
Mm-hmm.
We can prevent that carrier being out 6 months by getting more freaking arbitrators.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I think that we're missing in our union is the preventative grievances.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where I believe that needs to happen a lot. Because being reactive is
And it takes us back to that same theme of let's say you file that preventive grievance. You wind up losing it. Management's just going to go on unchecked, which is what they would have done anyway if you didn't file it.
What was that term where he says that you keep doing the same thing over and over again? And
insanity is expecting doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Okay. Right. And that's what we've been doing for a long time.
Right.
And that needs change.
Okay? I agree.
And the same thing, too, is harassment. Okay. When you got supervisors who has been harassing carriers, they've been caught multiple times, and they've been moved around to different branches, different post offices,
right,
and different cities, okay, or different states, okay.
Yeah.
Why do they still have their job when they've been caught harassing?
That's a great question.
Hey, if you work for AT&T, if you were caught harassing multiple employees as a manager, what
happens?
You'd
think they would fire you.
You're fired.
Right.
In a regular workforce, a manager you find out that's been harassing, sexual harassment or other kind, you're fired.
Right.
As a manager. Right. Okay. For some reason, the post office, they get to keep their job and they just get moved around. Yeah. Okay. And that also needs to stop, because that's another preventative where we can prevent that manager doing the stuff they do.
Right.
Then the hostile work environment will go away.
And that's why it's important for stewards to file these grievances. Mm-hmm. And again, for you as a carrier, this is why it's important for you to not just eat it. Mm-hmm. When that happens, you have to bring it to your union and give them the chance to do the right thing.
Now, don't get me wrong. It seems like even as a steward, that you feel like you're not going anywhere with these harassment grievances because they keep moving the same manager around. Right. I can tell you this right now. I had the steward that I was learning from.
Okay.
He was also a former and our ex-president.
Okay.
And he filed grievances on this one supervisor. She was so unruly and so harassing, and literally was poking a carrier with a pen, saying, you didn't do this or whatever.
Okay? Oh, my gosh.
Very abusive supervisor.
Right.
Okay? Well, the post office saved her job. Saved her job, right?
Uh-huh. The supervisor's job. Yeah, yeah.
On the result, it actually says that if she is found on violating joint surveillance one more time, that she will be removed from the Postal Service.
There you go.
That was the settlement.
Okay? That's a strong settlement.
And so when I got that copy of that settlement, she knew that I had that copy. She always took details away from my station.
Yeah, I wonder how, you know, it's a topic for another time, but it's something I'm curious about, because like informal A agreements are not precedent setting, but they're still worth the paper they're printed on. Mm-hmm. And whatever the agreement is in there, that agreement still holds power. Mm-hmm. You still have that agreement. You just can't use it to make a different agreement on those same terms. But this agreement that, hey, if this supervisor does it again, they're gone. I mean, that's worth the paper it's printed on.
No, it doesn't say they're gone from the city. It says they're removed from the postal service.
Yeah, they're gone. They're fired. I mean, yeah.
That was a great settlement in the fact that, she still had her job.
Right.
But at least this shows that if you do it one more time, you're gone. Right. You're gone for sure. That was agreed upon by the arbitrator.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. I think that'll do us. Dude, well done, Michael. Yeah.
Anybody have any questions about preventative or reactive, or, you know, what preventive things they think that there's out there? You know, call Alan or email him at classofmail.com.
Classofmail@gmail.com.
Skipping words.
Fine. Or they can contact Michael.
I've been working all day in 113 degree weather, okay?
Yeah, not me, man. I'm on vacation. Working for the birds. Yeah.
Again, you can call me at 702-724-6355 and see how you can file a grievance on maybe some preventative. Maybe I can help you out.
Yeah,
I'll do what I can. And I don't know everything, but I'll do what I can to help you guys out.
Yeah, dude. All right, Michael. Thank you very much for coming on. And listeners, I will thank you very much for listening. And I will catch you all next time.